I thank Him for the ability to sing. Just able to open my heart unto Him. And simply to sing. What a wonderful experience that is. To be able to sing unto the Father, the Creator of all things. And He is the Creator of all things. And His name is Yahweh. It's not Lord or God. But He has a name. And His name is Yahweh. I was talking to a very precious brother today. He's a pastor in Mount Sinai, New York. And he said to me, Pastor Roberts, because he went through the same kind of transition we went through here, he began to preach in the name of Yahweh, and many of them walked and turned their hearts away from that profound truth. He said, Pastor, I've traveled quite extensively. He just got back from Africa yesterday, from Nigeria. And he said, it's a very sad thing because you will find every pagan society and their gods, they all have names. Yet when it comes to Almighty Yahweh, He is known as this hybrid name to us. And He's everywhere I go. I preach from Exodus chapter 3. When Moses said unto Yahweh, when they asked me of a name, what name shall I tell them? And the Father has a name. And He wants to be known as Yahweh. And to our best expression of this age and this time, that is how it is enunciated. The scholars, the theologians, they have studied that tetragrammaton, and that is the closest proximity to that name and how it is enunciated. He is not God. He is not Lord. And His name is not Lord of hosts or God of hosts. He is Yahweh, the Mighty One, and the Creator of all things. Amos said, he said, seek Him that made the seven stars, the Pleiades and Orion. He even named the stars and the constellations that actually causes the rivers to flow with the flowing stream. He said, seek Him by His name, Yahweh. And He is the one that made Pleiades and Orion. He made the stars and the constellations of the heavens. And He placed them all in their specific place. And He named them all. And they all do glorify Him and exalt the very glory of that name. What I want to express tonight is, I pray Yahweh gives me strength to do it in a methodical way, that I cover the grounds that He intends for me to cover, and to speak those things with clarity, that you may understand the importance of whom He truly is. That's one thing about a king, and that is what I want to express tonight. The king's signet, or the seal of the king. And every king has a seal that he makes it authentic and official, and that it is the proven commodity as to what he intends for it to be. And once the king puts his signet or his seal upon it, it cannot be broken. That is the law. And the scriptures will tell us whether he is a king or whether he is not. Now, I want to start immediately from Psalms, and I want to read them in sequential order so you can follow along with me. And I say to you, saints of Yahweh, write these scriptures down, and then you go back and you look at these things in context. I will take a little from the Old Testament. I will take some from the Psalms of David. I will take things from the New Testament. I will take things from Revelation and Matthew. I will take things from different segments of Scripture. And so what you do, you go and you see if these things actually add up in the sequential order that they convey unto us the aspect what I am trying to convey unto you. So I will start in Psalms chapter 5. And I want you to hear this above all things and let it resonate or fill your soul that it may resonate or illuminate this great King that we serve. David said in Psalms 5 verse 2, he said, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry," and he identifies him as my King and my Elohim, "for unto thee will I pray." Verse 3, "My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Yahweh, and in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." So he cried unto this great King. He identified him. He said, "Hear my voice, O great King. I will lift my voice unto the heavens, for I know where your throne is. I understand the earth is thy footstool, and Jerusalem is the inhabitant of the great King of Israel," what Scripture says. So he identifies him as a king. Psalms 10 verse 16, David said, "Yahweh is King forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land." Psalms 10, 16. Yahweh is King forever and ever. And there's one thing that a king, there is a succession with the king's authority. And the only one that can bear that throne or crown of a king, it must be a son. It cannot come by the sovereignty of a daughter, but it must come by the sovereignty of a son. So Yahweh is King forever, not partial, not sometime. That is why Messiah came in his Father's name, for he is King forever. And the word of Yahweh does not change for any of us, and is not going to change, and is not going to try to appease any of us. The King's seal. You must understand the living Yahweh seal. He has a seal that his people are sealed with. And the scripture tells us that. It tells us of the seal. Psalms 24 verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10. Psalms 24. David said, "Lift up your head, or ye gates of the house, you that are in the house or in the gates of the inner courts, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." He asked, who is the King of glory? Who is this King of glory? Who is he? Is there a King of glory? David said, who is the King of glory? Yahweh strong and mighty, Yahweh mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? Yahweh of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. For he is King for everlasting and eternity. He is the everlasting King. So he commands us to lift up. Lift him up. Lift our heads up. And the King of glory shall come in. He is the authority. He is the one that governs us. He is the one that leads us. He is our mighty Redeemer. Now that is what a king is. He takes care of his subjects. And we are the subjects of Yahweh. That is why he sent the seal of hope, that we may be sealed unto eternal life. That is why Messiah said, "Go ye into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." You're not going to get clarity of that just by simply reading that scripture. You must take a little from here, little from there, little from here, and then you will understand the purity of that scripture. That's why there's been so much debating, because men have not known his name.
And they have not desired to know that, because traditions and doctrines have moved us away from that. So as taught us things according to traditions, that we all have come through that route, and we have learned those traditionalized things, that they are simply right, they seem right, so they are right. We understand that even Scripture, it was not written in Greek, nor was the New Testament. It was written in Hebrew. And from Hebrew, it was translated into Greek. And from Greek, it was translated into Latin. And from Latin, it was translated into the English language and many languages throughout the earth today. And so even with men, even as Yahweh dealt with the priests, because he said that the scribes, their pens were in vain. They were deceitful and full of lies. And so man, in all of his deceitfulness and his corrupt ways, he has tried to prevent certain things being exposed. And yet Yahweh, through all of that veneer, he brings clarity to only his people, that they may understand whom he is. He brings clarity unto them. He will bring clarity unto them. So who is this King of Glory? We must know who the King of Glory is. And if you search Scripture, saints, every king had a name. Every king had a name. The word king is mentioned 1,268 times, I believe, in Scripture. And every king, when it deals with a specific king, he has a name. It is not a woman, but it is a man. Psalms 29, verse 10. Psalms 29, verse 10. Yahweh sitteth upon the flood. Yea, Yahweh sitteth king forever. He sitteth upon the floods of the earth, and the floods of the tides of the onslaught of darkness, for he is king forever. He doesn't lose his sovereignty. He is everlasting. And he is an everlasting king. And he was manifested in the living word through Messiah, that we may understand this sovereign rule or this authority of Almighty Yahweh. So he is king everlasting, or forever he is king. David says in Psalms 42, verse 47. Psalms 47, verse 2. Psalms 47, verse 2. Do you believe this? Psalms 47, verse 2. It says, "For Yahweh Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth." Is that not what Scripture says? He is a great king over all the earth. Not just some of the earth, but he is a great king over all the earth. His sphere is the entire creation. He's not just limited to Israel or America or Russia, but he is king over all the earth. Psalm 47, verse 6, verse 7, it says, "Sing praises to Elohim. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For Elohim is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding." He is king over all the earth. And if he is king, every king has a name. You simply do not apply just that word to him, king, but he has a name. And the Scripture is clear on that. All the kings, they had names. Now this great king of all the earth, he has no name, that his subjects may know him. What is his name then? Ahab had a name. King David, King Solomon, it talks about all those men. And yet the king of all the earth has no name. Amri, all of those men, they were kings. And they all had names. And yet the king of all the earth, he has no name. Then his documentations are not of truth. When he put his signet upon something, it has no validity or authenticity. Now that's the power of a king. When he placed his seal upon any document, then it has authenticity. You can rely upon it because it has the king's seal. And the Scripture is clear on that as well. So this king of all the earth, he has no seal on those that are his. He has no authenticity of a people that are his. And he is a king of all the earth. Now, if he's king of all the earth, then there must be a seal upon that which is his, the property of his. And if we are his, then there must be a seal upon us that we are sealed with, that the kings of this earth may know that we are the property of the authenticity of Yahweh's people. It has to be that. That we have read scripture in our ignorance and our unlearned ways, and what Yahweh's doing is bringing a clarity to his people. That we're not bound with traditions and laws of the flesh and laws of religion. We're free. We have the liberty to see what Scripture says. To understand what Scripture says. That He may open up our understanding. That we may understand His truth. He is King of all the earth. And that's what Scripture says. Psalm 74, verse 12. Psalm 74, verse 12. What a profound scripture here. Psalm 74, verse 12. It says, "For Yahweh is my king of all, working salvation in the midst of the earth." Now, who worked salvation in the midst of the earth? Was that when Messiah came? That's not what scripture says. For Yahweh is our King, and He works salvation in the midst of the earth. Well, what is salvation? It is Yahshua. He is assurance of our salvation. He is the one that assures us of our salvation, that we may know the Father in an intimate and a personal way, that we may know Him, and that nothing will be hidden from us as to the aspects of whom He is, what He represents, and what He says. He wants us to understand that. Now, our ignorance will not allow us to do that because we're steeped in our pride. We don't want to let loose those old bondages and things that have us bound. We have not exceeded into that excellent sphere and walked in an excellent and a perfect mind. We walked in carnality and flesh and corruption. So we haven't walked that way at all. And so the things that we have learned, they have not caused us to bring forth that excellence of anointing as Daniel, as Joseph, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It has not caused us to do that. And that excellent anointing was on those men in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament. In the Old Testament. So he is still king. He is king forever. He is not, his throne is not taken from him. You're not going to have a coup with him. That's what Satan tried. He tried a coup, but it didn't work. So there's not going to be a coup with Yahweh. Not at all. He's going to try that in his last this effort. His last this effort. He's going to try a coup to overthrow him. He's going to try that. After 1,000 years of bondage, knowing the seal of Yahweh, he's going to be loosed from the bottomless pits. And he's going to bring this horde of these wicked ones with him. And they're going to try to overthrow the seat of his authority in Jerusalem. That's what's going to happen. And they're going to all be cast into the everlasting burning fire of hell. In brimstones is where his abode will be. So there will be a coup. Now they're going to try to overthrow him, but it shall not work, and it won't work. Psalms 89, verse 18. I want you all to hear this. Pay attention. It is important. Psalms 89, 18. For Yahweh is our defense. You believe that? I do. And the Holy One of Israel is what? Our King. Now, if you believe he is your defense, then he must be your king as well. He must be. And every king has a name that you can enunciate. His name is not Lord, and the king's name is not God. Oh, they were considered as gods because they were believed to be birthed by the gods, or their lineage were in the God sphere. Well, that's where our lineage is. We're sons of Yahweh. We've been born again. We have been inhabited by a birth and a life in us that brings forth His excellent light. That's what it ought to do. That's what it ought to do. And you do not go before a king just any kind of way. He is the king. Whether you accept that or not, he is the king. That's what this world has done. They have denounced him. They rejected him. He is not the master of their salvation today. They're choosing their own routes and their own gods. Gods are created and they are made. Satan said, the day that you eat of that tree, you'll become as gods. That's what he said. And there is where that is first mentioned in Scripture. Yahweh didn't tell them that. But that's where it's said in Scripture. You will become as gods. Well, Yahweh said unto Pharaoh, he said to Pharaoh, that I have made Moses a god unto thee. And not only that, but Aaron his prophet. I have made him to be a god unto thee, and Aaron his prophet. Well, what are gods? They're man-made idols. They're idols that men esteem, that they give reverence. And what Yahweh was saying unto that wicked Pharaoh, you're going to give him reverence. Because he's going to speak the words of Yahweh. He's going to make known my excellent truth. What was that excellent truth, or what is it? That his people are going to be made free to serve him. They're going to be made free to go out and to serve Yahweh and to extol him and to bless him. Well, are the people free today? Not hardly. They're not free to truly worship him. They're not free. They're free to really acknowledge him. There's no liberty to give him thanks. There's no liberty to be appreciative of his truth and what he speaks unto us. You're not going to fight against Yahweh and win. His name is not a pagan name. It is not Lord and it's not God. That is his name, Yahweh. That's one thing that Pastor Hohauser said. He said, you know, Pastor Roberts, everywhere I go throughout the world, they extol their gods of Buddha and Krishna. He said, every nation, they have gods and gods, and they all have names. And yet we in America, and those that say they know Yahweh, they address him by this hybrid pagan name. He says, not so. He says, not so. It can't be. He has a name, and his name is a glorious name. And men, through their vain striving, they have hidden his name. And yet only by the power of the Spirit is he going to make it known unto his people and reveal it unto them that they will love his name. They will understand him and know him. David says in Psalms 95 verse 3 and Psalms 98 6. Psalms 95 verse 3. Psalms 95 verse 3. I know how that read in the text you have. That is so twisted the way it reads in that text. But it says here, for Yahweh is a great El, and a great King above what? All gods. Now undoubtedly there are more than one God. Now he is the King of all gods, all spirits. He is the King of all gods. Yahweh is a great El, and that means the mighty one he is, with power and might. And he is the King of all gods. No other God supersedes him. No God comes to his threshold. He is the King. And they know that he is the King. Why? Because he is the creator of them. Gods are made just like Yahweh made Satan. He is the God of this earth, isn't he? Was he not made? Was he not made? And that word you are means no beginning or end at all. No beginning. It's amazing because I was reading an article on Pat Robertson. I'm not going to read it. But when Pat Robertson bought the television station, he named the station, it says here, that Pat Robertson, in this article, he named the radio station, where is that? I want you to hear this. I know what it says, but I want to read it. CBN goes on air. Look at what it says. The television station, WYAH television. Says, taken from the Hebrew name of God, Yahweh, which means the one who causes everything to be. And even when Pat Robertson, I remember the station when he bought it. And that is the station WYAH. These serpents of hell They know that he has a name, but they are afraid of the parishioners. They're afraid of the monetary lack of that. And so they will toe the line. They're not concerned with the souls of the people. They don't care about that. They're going to give them things that appease them and they can continue their sins and their lies and their loss and their greed. And there's no shame. They continue their wicked ways. And they feel no guilt of their sins at all. None whatsoever. So they will feed them food that is convenient to their flesh. But they will not challenge the inward parts of their souls. See who they truly trust in or who they rely upon. May I say to us, saints, we are headed toward one of the most cataclysmic mayhems upon the face of the earth. You're going to have to know this one you call God. He's going to have to be more than just God, too. You're going to have to know this King of Kings, King of Glory. You're going to know Him, that you can literally call on Him and expect Him to answer you. You're going to know that. David says in verse 90, chapter 95, chapter 98, verse 6, Psalms 98, verse 6. He said, with trumpets and sounds of cornet, make a joyful noise before Yahweh. Who is He? The King. So He tells you how to make a joyful noise before Him. Cornets, all kinds of music. He said, you make a joyful noise before Yahweh. It says in that expression, before God, doesn't it? For He is King. But what God is King? Who is this one that is King of all the earth? And if there is a King of all the gods, what is this King's name? Tell me the name of this King if He is King of all the gods. What is His name? Is there an identity of this King that is King of all gods? What is His name? Or is there a name that is associated with Him? So if there's a seal of this God or this King, it has no relevance. It has no relevance. It is not authentic. For Almighty Yahweh to be the King, He must have a seal or possess a seal that is authentic. And it must be genuine because it authenticates the document. He has to. That's why the scriptures were sealed by His blood. The blood of Messiah, Yahshua. Messiah, Yahweh's anointed. That is what that stands for. Messiah. He is the anointed of Yahweh. He has been anointed by Yahweh. He says in Psalms 145 verse 1 and Psalms 149. Psalms 145 verse 1. David said, I will extol thee, my Yahweh. Why? He said, O King, I will bless what? Thy name for what? Forever and ever. What name is He going to bless, saints? You don't even have to be a rocket scientist to understand that. You don't have to be a mathematical genius to understand that. That is simple there. There is simplicity there. Even in that text you're reading, I will extol thee, O my Elohim. O King, I will bless thy name. What is a name then? What is the name that He will bless forever and ever? Are you that blind in your sins you can't see that? Are you that blinded in your corruption, your arrogance, and your disputing of Yahweh? You can't see that, the simplicity of that. Do you understand what the word defined, how it's defined the word name? That's not hard to understand that. Are you that ignorant in your sins? Are you that drawn up or caught up in your own corruption and your wickedness, which is going to destroy your soul into hell? You can't see that. He said, I will bless the King's name. And you always bless the King's name. You always bless. When Mr. Bush, when he went to, he's there in Britain, it is one thing that Prince Charles, he announced the President of the United States. President George Bush. No, he did not say King. But he was there to make the proclamation that there was not just a normal man in the house. He was a king of the most powerful nation upon the face of the earth. He did not just address him as Mr. President. Mr. President George Bush. That's honor to the king. If he walked in here today, would I address him as that? Certainly I would. I would not address him as George Bush, but I will preface that with President George Bush. And I will honor the king because Scripture says that. And if you don't honor the king, you're going to hell. For you disobey the law of Yahweh. That's the truth. That's the truth. Well, he's Republican. Makes no difference at all. He's king. Has nothing to do with that. This corrupt mind today. It says in Psalms 149 verse 2. This is making sense. Because it's making sense to me. Now, I'm going to give you the impact from here, all right? I just want to lay the foundation so you have nothing to argue with. You have nothing to fight with. But your own sins and your own wickedness and your own corruption. Because you can't fight against His name. He says this in Psalms 149 verse 2. He said, let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Who made us? Yahweh made us. He said, let the children of Zion. Are we the children of Zion? He said, be joyful in their king then. That's what he told us to do. Be joyful in our king. We rejoice in our king. We know who our king is. He said, well, we're children of Zion. If you're not children of Zion, you will not be joyful in your king. And so the children of Zion must be joyful. There must be rejoicing and a gladness because they know their king. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To know your king is in the midst? My! You don't rejoice in that. You're full of sin. Kings are wise men. They can say what they want to about President George Bush. But there is a spirit of empowerment because Yahweh established kings. And there is a spirit of empowerment that He empowers a king. I don't care what nation, what little small ground, Yahweh empowers the kings. And He puts something in them that is totally different. And it is, whether you acknowledge that it is, saints, that He empowers all the kings, whether He's a Democrat or a Republican, independent, it makes no difference at all. He empowers the kings. He causes their hearts to turn whichever way. He commands them to turn. And you or the Democratic has nothing to do with that. Democracy has no play in that at all. It is all by the hand of Yahweh. Amen. The Scripture says in Revelation chapter 15. Revelation 15. I want to seek Him that made the seven stars. And Palladius. Orion. I want to seek Him. Yahweh is His name too. That's what Scripture says. Not Lord God of hosts is His name. But Yahweh is His name. Now let me move expeditiously because I want this to burn down in your soul, saints. Revelation chapter 15 verse 1. It says this. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the last seven plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of Yahweh. Verse 2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten victory, look now, saints, over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of Yahweh, or the laws, or the righteous anointing of Yahweh. Verse 3. Look at what he says now in verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of Yahweh. And the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy work, Father Yahweh. That's what they said. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. thou King of saints. At the beginning he was king, and at the end with the last seven plagues, the scriptures say they will sing a song, those that have gotten victory over the beast. His image, and notice he has a mark, and the number of his name. And they sang a new song to glorify Yahweh. They acknowledge him as the Father, the Redeemer, the Salvation, and the hope. They sang the song of Moses, the song of Yahweh, and the song of the Lamb. Paul, in all of his writing, he never denied one of them. You can't deny neither one, because they are one. Go ye into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. For the Son is of that name, and the Holy Roh is of that name, your way. For it is Him, it is His Spirit. And they sang the song, for He is King of the saints. He's only King of the saints. King of saints. I like that. That's why I rejoice in my King, because He is my King. And He is the King of the saints. That is the song. That's a good song to learn and to sing. Not like the world sing it, but the way Yahweh wants it to be sung. All right? That the scripture says, I want you to turn quickly. I want to establish this. In Matthew chapter 2. I want to read a little bit, but I want you to let this settle in your soul, saints. It's a great battle today, for the enemy does not want that revelation of his truth to be revealed. So Satan is doing all he can. He has this world bound in religious traditions. And they're all in a spirit of whoredom on their way to hell. They fight the First Baptist with the Second, the Pentecostal with the Charismatics, the Charismatics with the Holiness, the Oneness with the Trinitarians, and they all say they preach from Scripture. Somewhere, those scribes, their pens have been full of vanity and wickedness. For He is one. Our Yahweh is one. He is not diverse like that. And His truth is a simple truth. Man has taken his own interpretation, his private interpretation, and he has construed this whole thing today. That when people hear the name of Yahweh, they fight, they reject it. There's a spirit of anger rise up in them, just like it was with the Israelites. They fought against it. They detested that. They didn't want to hear that. But I love His name. I bless Him for that. The scripture says in Matthew, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It says this. Now when Yahshua was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the what? It actually identifies the king, doesn't it? Does it identify the king? Does it identify the king? Does it identify the king, my friends? It identifies the king, doesn't it? Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king? One that is born king? And Yahweh is king forever? It does say that, doesn't it? Where is this one that was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and come to worship Him. Now there's no way that one can be king unless the Father is moved. And there's a succession there. So that one that was king, he is king. He has never lost his place as being king. So he had to come. Messiah had to identify that name of the king. I will show you in scripture. It's there. It's so simple that even a fool can understand. But because of our folly, and our sins, and our corruption, and because of our pride and our arrogance, we don't open up our hearts to truth. The Bereans, they opened up their hearts to truth. And they didn't fight. And then they went and searched the scriptures to see the clarity of those things. That's what they did. Then look at the fifth chapter of Matthew. Chapter 5, verse 33 through verse 35. It says, again ye have heard that it have been said by them of ancient time or old time, thou shalt not vow a vow to Yahweh or forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto Yahweh thine oath, the oath that you have vowed. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is Yahweh's throne, the heavens. Now look what he says in verse 35. He said, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Now look what he's saying now. They says, where is this king? In Matthew 2, this king we came to worship now. He said that you make a vow to Yahweh. You don't swear by him at all. He said, whatever you vow to him, you do what you say. He said, you don't swear by the earth. Why? Because this is his footstool. He said, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. For it is the city of the great king. David called him a great king. Well, who was this great king? Was it Herod? Was it Pilate? Was it Agrippa? Who is this great king? Now, these men have names. And they're identified in Scripture. Well, what about this great king? If he's the greatest king of all those kings, I want to know this great king. Tell me his name. Please tell me his name. I want to know his name. For that name is important unto me. I must know this great king that Messiah calls him, that Jerusalem is his place of this great king. What is his name? What is his name? There must be a name for this great king. When Herod the king was identified, for the wise men came from the east unto Herod to identify this great one that will be born king of the Jews. So he has to have a name. It has to be appropriate as to whom he is. I thought about that today. As they were talking about the one that won, the sorcerers whose name was Bar-Jesus. That's what his name is. Bar-Jesus now. And Jesus. It's not so. He has a Hebrew name. He was not born to a Latin mother. He was born unto a Hebrew mother. Joseph was not a Latin man or Greek. His name has never changed. Not at all. His name will never change. It's an eternal name. Yahweh's name is everlasting. Now, when we get into the kingdom of glory, our linguistic may be a little different in this, but it's still going to be what it is. You're going to know his name. And that's the truth. Now, look at what Luke says. Luke chapter 19, verse 37 and 38. I want to move quickly. Luke chapter 19, verse 37. And this is when Yahshua was entering into the city of Jerusalem. Look at what happened now. And when he was come nigh, Luke 19:37, when he was come nigh even, now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise. What it says in that text? Praise who? What it says in your text? They began to praise God. They began to praise Yahweh. And as they began to praise, Yahweh with a loud voice for all the mighty works that had been they had seen. Saying, blessed. Look what it says now. We read these things, but we don't. Look what it says this now. It said, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of who? No, but what it says in your text? Huh? Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of Yahweh. Why? Because he is Yahweh. He is Yahweh. Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of Yahweh. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And that's what Scripture says. And what we have done, Satan, because our inability, because there's not what this nation and the world call the anointing of Yahweh. It is not. It is not, saints. It is not that powerful spirit that Joel prophesied that will be poured out upon a people. This is a hybrid type thing. The Spirit of Yahweh doesn't lead us into false error and things that corrupt our minds, away from His truth. We may walk away, but we hear the profoundness of His truth, we turn. We turn therein and we begin to eat. It is not hostile against Him. It doesn't reject Him. When a man becomes hostile toward Him, and he will not be intrigued by His truth, he is causing a breach. He is causing a breach before Yahweh. And so He's going to pour His anointing upon His people today. And they're going to know Him. And they're going to be stronger. They're going to need exploits. We're not as strong people. We can say we are. We're kidding ourselves. We're not as strong as Yahweh intended for us to be. We don't do no exploiting. We are exploited. We are. By who? Well, look at the God that exploits you. The God of your belly. That God exploits you. That takes advantage of you. That's the truth, preacher. Now the scripture says in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Look what Peter says. No, I want to drop down to Revelation. This is where I want to go. Revelation. Revelation chapter 17. I want to get this in tonight. Revelation chapter 17. Verse 14. It says, these shall make war with the Lamb. It identifies the Lamb now. And the Lamb shall overcome them. Why? Because they will give their power and their glory unto the beast. That's what these nations are doing today. There's a beastly spirit in the nations today. It's the love of Yahweh or His truth. It's a beast. It just responds by its own feel. So they're going to make war with the Lamb. And it said, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Why? For He is the Master of masters, not Lord of lords, Master of all masters, and He is the King of kings, and they that are with Him are called, those that are with Him now, are called and chosen, and they are faithful. Those that are with Messiah, they are called, they are chosen, and they are faithful. Now, are we that saints? Without faith, we can't please Him. Are we truly faithful? Yahweh asks you that. Are you truly faithful? And if we're not, then we need to meet the criteria of being faithful. We can kid ourselves and say, well, I am faithful in what? You must be faithful in all things. You can be faithful in giving and not faithful in love. You can be faithful in giving and not faithful in kindness. In all things. Those that are with Him, they are the called, they are the chosen, and they are the faithful. I want to fit every one of those characters, those stipulations. Everyone, you got to fit. Everyone, every single one of them, you must fit. And He says in Revelation 19, listen to this now, Revelation 19, verse 13. Beautiful scripture here. As He saw Messiah, He said this, Revelation 19, 13, and He was clothed with a vesture, a talit, dipped in blood. And look at this now. And His name is called what? The Word of Yahweh. That is what His name is called. The Word of Yahweh. And the armies which are in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Verse 15. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of who? Almighty Yahweh. You see His place here? He treads the winepress with the fierceness of Almighty Yahweh. And He hath on His vesture and on His right thigh a name written, King of kings, and the ruler of all rulers. And that is who He is. He is the King of the earth. And He is the ruler of all rulers. He hath on His right thigh. He is called the Word. And the beginning was what? And the Word was what? And the Word was Yahweh. Huh? So He is just what He is. He is still King. He's not going to give up His throne. He's King and He wants to be known as King. Now let me show you this, saints. Every king The true power or the true authenticity of his authority is his seal. I will show you three examples quickly. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 8. Would you move that quickly? I'm going to read an Esther chapter 3. 1 Kings 21, 8 and Esther chapter 3. We understand the detail of this story here, this happening. Jezebel, this harlot one, it says what she did. Now look at what she did. Jezebel, this harlot, she wrote letters in Ahab's name. Is that not what name she wrote it in? Is that not what name she wrote it in? Who was Ahab? Was he a king or not? He was a king. Is not this one called the word of Yahweh? Is not those letters, the word we know today, are not they written in letter? And they must have a seal too. He said, and Ahab, the name of the king, and she sealed them with his seal. And sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles, where in every city dwelling with Naboth. So the authenticity of the letter was what? The seal. She wrote it in his name, but without the seal it had no power. And that was the seal of the king, and he had a signet or a ring, and no one else had that ring. And when he put his seal upon it, boom, then you knew that it was authentic. And once the king had sealed the document, you could not rescind that. I will show you in Esther chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. I'm not going to read all this. You all go back to these chapters and you read it. That's what you do. I'll lay out this format, give you the tidbits, that you may get the understanding thoroughly as you sit before Yahweh and inquire of His truth. The scripture says in Esther chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Now you need to go back really and read this chapter. Verse 8 and 9 give you a little detail of really what happened. Alright? And the king said unto Haman, that talks about a king here, doesn't it? We'll find out if he has a name. He said, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman said, you write this, had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, that had no power, they had wrote it, now look now, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people and every province, according to the writings thereof. And this is the power right here. And to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus, was written, and it said, and it was sealed with what? The king's ring. She had no power unless the king sealed it. And that was the power of the signet when he sealed it. It was sealed with the king's ring. Now, if Yahweh is a king, is there a seal upon his people? It has to be. And the scripture tells us that seal. I will show it to you. One more, Daniel chapter 16. Daniel chapter 6, I'm sorry, and verse 16 and 17. I really want to read that entire chapter, but because of time, I won't. But Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. You know the story. It says, Then the king commanded, because what Daniel did, when those governors went to the king and said that there was one, say, can't nobody pray or do anything. They can't do anything unless they go through the king first. And so when the king signed the decree, then Daniel knew that he had signed the decree, that he went to his one that he prayed three times a day. He wanted them to see him. He wasn't afraid of the king. Because he knew the king. He knew the king. He knew the king. He knew Yahweh. He knew the king. And so the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him in the den of the lion. Oh, Darius, he knew his heart was sick when they told him that. It says, now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Vael, whom thou servest continuously, will he deliver you? Can he deliver you? And the stone was brought, And it was laid upon the mouth of the dead, and the king sealed it with his what? Own signet. And with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And Darius went home and he laid on his bed. He fasted. He was sick. And then he rose up early that morning, ran there, and said, "Oh, Daniel, are you still there?" Oh, Daniel said, "I'm all right. For the king has shut the mouths of the lions." Why? Because he saw that there was nothing wrong in me at all. If there had been something wrong in me, they would eat me. But there was nothing wrong in me. Not at all. And the old king said, "Open the gate. Open the door. Deliver Daniel." And he called for all the governors and all those lieutenants that lied on Daniel. And he called for them and who else? Their what? Let me tell you that he called for them and their what? Their wives and what else? And what? And their children and their families, and put them all there in the lion's den. And that's what Yahweh's doing today. He's calling all of them, their families, their sons, their daughters, mom and daddy. And he's putting them in the mouth of the lion. Why? Because they reject his profound truth. So he's put them right there in the lion's den. And they all crouch together. And they all come together in their sin-sick, demented minds. Where Yahweh and the word of Yahweh, not even the name of Jesus, is exalted amongst them. Nothing but sin. I'm a preacher. And I wasn't made a preacher by mom either. And you all didn't make me one. Now let me read this quickly. Revelation chapter 7. I want you to hear this, saints. Please hear it. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation. I'm not going to read all of this, but I want to read some of the verses. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. John said, "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind shall not blow on the earth, nor the sea, or any tree. And I saw another angel ascended from the east." Do you see what that says? Having the seal. Is that not what it says? You saw this profound manifestation of this angel. Every king has a seal. He has a signet that he seals and make it authentic. He saw this power ascend from the east. And he saw him having the seal of the living Father, or Yahweh. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. He said, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have what? Till we have what? Seal who? The servants of Yahweh were in their foreheads." He said, "You can't touch a thing until they are sealed." And he had to seal every last one. A king's power, or the authentication of his power, is his seal. When President Bush signed an order, he used a certain pen. And when he signed one, he gives that pen away. He'll sign another one. He'll give that. He may have 50 pens there. He may use every last one of them to sign every document and every one with a different pen. For it is the seal of the President of the United States. And everyone is sealed with the insignia of this nation. And so those that he favors, he'll give this one a pen. He'll give that one a pen. Oh, this is making sense. He would give every last one of them a pen. And they sit there waiting for the pen. Especially when it's a document of monumental power. Can you imagine when they call a peace treaty with Israel and Palestine? Those that will wait for the pens when President signed them. Look back and give this one. Sign the next paper. Give that one. And it's all official and authenticated. When he put his signet, it makes it authentic. And a king, you can write his name, but unless he seal it, it doesn't mean anything. You can call his name unless his seal is there. It means nothing at all. He said, "I saw this angel with a seal
of the living Father, the living Yahweh. He said to the one, don't hurt anything until those that are called and chosen, those that have overcome, a seal with the signet of the signet of Yahweh. What is that seal? Does the scripture tells us what that signet is? When they're sealed, show it to us. Show it to us. It tells us the seal of this living angel. And he calls out all the 12 tribes of Israel. It says that. Calls them all out. Who? Look at that. It's so amazing because these must be sealed in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of the tribe of the children of Israel. Precise on the money, on the exact what he did. And everywhere you go, the tribe of Judah were sealed. It goes on, the tribe of Reuben were sealed. It talks about the seal. It enunciates that. It brings that to understanding and visualization. Every time when it's sealed, it talks about them being sealed. Why did I say, and he sealed the tribe of Reuben, Benjamin, Manasseh? It didn't say that, but he sealed. It makes it known that there's a seal, and there's a seal of the living Father. And we must know that seal. What is that seal? Does the scripture gives us any indication of what that seal is and what it implies? Well, I'll show you what the seal is. It says in Revelation. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. John said, and the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pits. The scripture says, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. Look at verse 4 now. Look at verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men have not the seal of Yahweh in their forehead. Now what is the seal? Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1. This is his seal. He has a seal. He has an insignia. This is the seal, Revelation 14:1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. And with him 144,000, having his now Father's name written in their forehead. And that's the seal of Yahweh's people, that his name is in their foreheads. He saw 144,000. Did he not seal them in chapter 7? Go and seal them. And what is the seal? The name of the Father written in their foreheads. That is the seal of Yahweh. His name is the seal of his power. His name is the authenticity of his power, his laws, and his righteousness. He said, I looked, and Lord, Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Revelation 7:2, and I saw another angel sitting from the east, having the seal of the living Yahweh. And he sealed the 144,000. He sealed the 144,000. There were 144,000, and they were sealed. And John said, he saw this angel, Lord, he saw this lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, the ones that were sealed, having his Father's name written in their forehead. Not just any father, but he said the Lamb's Father. Well, who is the Lamb's Father? Who is the Lamb's Father? What is the Lamb's Father's name that's written in their foreheads? That's the seal. Hallelujah. His name in our minds, in our thoughts. Can't get it out. We bless you all in the morning and the daytime. We rise up and look unto the heavens because we know he made it. He made the seven stars. Hallelujah. He made Pleiades. He made Orion. Hallelujah. That's the one you ought to seek. That's the one you ought to want to know. He's the King of kings and the ruler of all rulers. No other ruler exceeds him. Having the seal. Having the seal.
the Father's name in their forehead. The name of His Father. Hallelujah. Truth. And this world doesn't want that seal today. They reject that, they despise. They want the seal of the beast. We got to overcome the number, His name, His image, and the number of His name. Why? Because we're the called and we're the chosen of Yahweh. Only those that are called and the chosen will overcome. They can't overcome because He sealed their minds. He sealed their minds with their television, with their pollution, with their games, these corrupt things that pervert their minds, their ability to think anything pure and right. You think how difficult it is to think anything right today. And the scripture says the thoughts of a righteous man, they are right. Huh? That's what scripture says. Or do we read them enough to understand what it says? It's a shame that we don't have time for Him. It's a shame. Time for youngest, time for grand youngest, time for everybody, but not time for Him. Something is wrong with our minds. Time for work, time for gym, time for lifting weights, but no time. Something is wrong. Time to hunt, no time for Him. Something is wrong with us, saints. Something is drastically wrong. Drastically wrong. Time to cook, but no time for Him. Somewhere we missed the mark. Somewhere we missed it. Somewhere we have missed it totally. He saw this Lamb on Mount Sion with them 144,000 having the Father's name written in their foreheads. Revelation chapter 7 verse 2. And I saw an angel ascended from the east having the seal of the living Father, the living Yahweh. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was written not to hurt the earth or the sea, saying, don't touch anything until the servants of Yahweh are sealed in their foreheads. Well, His name is written in the same 44,000. 144,000, is that written in their forehead? I said, they're sealed in their forehead. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 104,000 of the tribes of the children of Israel. And I looked in verse chapter 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, the Lamb stood on my Sion, and with Him 144,000 having the Father's name written in their forehead. So what is the seal He put in their forehead? The Father's name. You can't deny that. He put the Father's name in there. What is the Father's name then? Did He put Lord there? Did He put God? No, He put Yahweh. That's what they put Yahweh. Yahweh. He saw the Lamb and the Lamb's Father. And the Father's name was written. Why? Because He is the King. He is King of Kings. And because the Son is of the Father, that He carries the same classification as the Father. Go ye into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. Not in the name of, but of the Son and of the Holy Ruach. That's what Scripture says. It's simple. It can be understood. Hallelujah. I'm going to close here. It says this. John chapter 6 verse 26. Have the Father's name in their forehead. That's the truth. You're going to have to love that name. Or you're going to hate Him. He has a name that's not Latin or Greek. His name is not Jesus. Yeshua. John chapter 6 verse 26. And 27. Look at the scriptures. Yahshua answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you. He said, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. He says this now. Look what he says. Look what he says in verse 27. He says, labor not for the meat which perish, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. He identified himself, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Why? For him hath Yahweh the Father sealed. Now, if he sealed 144,000 with his name, what then did he seal Messiah with? We're an ignorant generation. We don't search the scriptures. If he sealed 144,000 with his name, what did he seal him with? He said, him hath the Father sealed. That's what it says, doesn't it? I read that the same way read in that book you got. Him had the Father sealed. So if he sealed 144,000, they were the chosen, they were the pure, they were the virtue of the crowd. Was not Messiah virtue? Are not these 144,000, are they pure in virtue? Have they been defiled by anything at all? Are they like that? Come on, saints of Yahweh. Are they pure? Have they been defiled by womankind or religious kind? They haven't. Had Messiah been defiled? And yet he had the seal of Yahweh. What is the seal of Yahweh? The 144,000 had it. Had the Father's name written in their forehead. And Joshua came in the Father's name. That was the seal of Messiah. It's truth. It's simple, isn't it? We just take a little time for Him. That's all we got to do. Just take a little time for Him. You'll be surprised what He revealed to you. And let there be a hunger in your soul, a love for His truth. I'll lay down everything just to get to the scripture when that something is burning in my soul. I will. I get home just to do that. I'll say this to the Lord, woman. I want to get home. I don't mess around. That's the truth. So Messiah was sealed by the Father. And the 144,000, they had the same virtues he had. Pure virtues. Have they touched my woman? Nothing. Huh? The Father's name written in there. What was written in him? The Father's name. No difference at all. Period. The scripture says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. Let me close here. A couple more verses. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 20. It says, for all the promises of what? I know I want you to say it like that. All the promises. I'm going to read it right. All the promises of Yahweh in him now. They're in him. For all the promises of Yahweh in him are yea and amen unto the glory of who? What is it there? See, unto the glory of Yahweh by who? By us is what Paul says. Listen now. He says in verse 21, now he which established us, listen to this clearly. Now he which established us with you now, saints, he said, in Messiah, and hath anointed us, is who? No, but what it says there? What it says there? It's your way. It's your way. It's your way.
Amen.
And what has he done in verse 22? Who has sealed what? Now look what he's done with us. Who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Go ye to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ruach. The Spirit of Yahweh, it comes in no other name but the name of the Father. Messiah said, I will pray to my Father. And he will send you another comforter. Hallelujah. He will send you the Ruach, the Spirit. That's all right. It bless my soul. He feeds me. Feed me with food that's convenient for my soul. And they say I'm a false preacher. Lies. See, my doctrine is wrong. I preach Messiah. Your way. Messiah crucified and resurrected for my sins. Nah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I'm going to close here. Glory. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Glory to Yahweh. Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to be used of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. He said, and grieve not the Holy Ruach or the Holy Spirit of who? What it says there, please tell me. Of Yahweh. That is a spirit. Yahweh is a what? Thank you. He said, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He said, don't hurt nothing, don't touch a thing, until the servants of Yahweh are sealed in their foreheads. And John said, I saw another angel that as he stood with Messiah standing on Mount Sion. With 144,000 having the name of his Father in their foreheads. Go ye into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. For the Son is of the Father, and the Spirit is of the Father. That's what Scripture says. That's the truth. So he is King. And he has a seal. And his seal that no one else can duplicate that. It is his insignia. And it is his name. Nothing else. What do you think the mark of the beast will be? What is that? What is the mark of the beast? It's a number. But the number of the what? Say that, please. Number of what? All right, then. Thank you. He's the fourth Messiah. So he got a number. His number is his name, too. Glory. And so Yahweh's seal is the name of the called, the chosen, and we his elect. He is King. So you ought to be able to rejoice before the King. You ought to be glad.
I'm glad I can call him king. It is one thing that he's going to do, saints. He's going to make this truth whereby it resonates from our soul, where life is going to be real. It is. All these years, it really hasn't been real to us. We can say what we want to. You judge me, that's fine. But it hasn't been real to us. It must be made real to us. For he saw the angel with the seal of the living Father. Not dead, but the living. And that seal must be alive. And if that seal is alive, it must bring forth life. Sure it is, saints. It's a simple truth. And it's a good truth. It is. What if I understand that truth, that he will exalt his king? He will say, blessed be the king, for he lived forever. That's what they always said about kings. King lived forever. Hail Caesar, live forever. That's what they've always said. I'm going to hell your way. For he has no beginning and has no end. He is the everlasting. And I bless him for that. May Yahweh bless you, give you strength tonight, peace in your hearts, in your mind, that you press on and see what the end shall be. There's much more, but I'm going to stop there. I hope it bless your hearts tonight and bless mine. We began to read the scriptures. I like this when I print this out because it's so much easier. I can see that. I really can. I can't see this. A sure sign that death is not far away. And I bless him for that. I want to be right when I see him. You know, there were saints, the book of Hebrews tells us, you read that 11th chapter, they died waiting for the promise. They didn't understand things like you. They didn't understand things like Peter, John, or Paul. But they died in the faith. And so there are those who haven't understood what you understood. So to whom much is given, much is required. He expects a deeper. He gave one five, one three, one talent. He gave them one, and that's all he got. Some they went, took that talent and hid it. And once he gets five, he expects five on that return. You're not going to give him three now. He wants five. He gives you three, he wants three. He does. And he expects that out of us, whether we believe that or not. Glory. He does. He does. For he is the King of Kings. And he is the ruler of your life too. Bless him for that simple truth, for making it known unto me. And you got to bless him too. And don't be ashamed of his name. Don't be ashamed of his name. In front of no one. I'm not. I love to call on that name. I do. I bless him. Our foundation is Messiah. That's his name. Yahshua. Yahshua. May Yahweh bless you. He has a name. And that seal of his Father's name is in him. That's what he was sealed with the Father's name. That's why they couldn't do nothing to him. Even the prince of this world, if the prince of this world had known who he was, they would not have crucified him. They wouldn't have. May Yahweh bless you. Let's stand to our feet. Be encouraged, saints. I can't wait till we get our studio done. I really can't. I really can't. Yahweh bless you. And the brothers, make us a nice office. I won't try to pour that slab, but I'm going to get out there with my chef, and I'm going to lay those blocks. I may have to get 200 or 300 a time, but I'm going to do it. I found a place because if you get that acoustics for the walls to make it soundproof, so the singing will sound good. It costs, that's one of them tiles that big costs you, some of them cost you, how much is that? They cost you $50 a tile. That's the truth. I found a place right there in Nashville, Tennessee, that I can get enough to do that whole room for the recording studio for probably $300. That's all right. No, I don't waste time when I'm sitting in there. I do things in there, all right. I found that. I bless you always for that. And I can't wait till we build that so we can sing. All of y'all, anybody want to sing, you can sing. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to have Brother Jay. That's right. We're going to have some country. We're going to have some of that laid back. Anybody wants to sing? Mother Miller going to sing. We're going to record. That's right. Y'all start getting some songs and we're going to record. Yes, sir. We're not going to sell nothing. We're going to give it away. Bless your way. And I'm going to put out a message to others. You got songs you want to record. It's going to be a nice recording studio. That's what we're going to do. To bless him. And what we're going to do, put it on the radio station. We're going to put it right on our radio station. I think it's going to kick out about this, to the state line. It's going to kick out to North Carolina. And it's a lot of folks moving here. All right, we're going to put it on there. We're going to sing. We're going to put it on there. And put it out there. And folks are going to hear the singing. Sure.
And I'm excited about that more than anything. I really am. I am excited about that. So anybody got a song you can sing? You want to sing and play with your wife? You can do that. We'll record it, put it on the radio. That's right. No rapping now. We ain't rapping for Yahweh. You're going to sing for him and praise him. Bless your Father. Bless your people. Go with him by praying. Bless your saints.